My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountains' grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Thank you, ladies, and how great the Lord is, right? And what a great song and a great truth to keep with us. Well, I want to Challenge you to get your Bibles in your hands and encourage you with that. Pastor Johnson's preaching for us this morning, with it being our anniversary Sunday. I asked if he'd be willing to preach for us all day. And as I mentioned already, Pastor Johnson and Miss Johnson, their family came 41 years ago by faith and started Shasta Baptist Church. And it wasn't then what it is today by the buildings, amount of people, but I'm thankful that it was what it is today by belief and practice, by preaching. And that's what we want it to continue to be. And so if that's what you want, you came to the right place. And so get your Bibles in your hands. But I just want to take a moment as we begin then just thanking the Lord. We've sung about it, talked about him today, but just thanking the Lord for his goodness. And this church is not man-built. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And this is God's house. And this is God's word, and we are to be stewards of what God has given to us. So being thankful for what God has done, but that God uses a man, God uses a preacher, a pastor. And I'm thankful Pastor Johnson happens to be my father-in-law. And amen. I think that's still why I was hired to work at the church. not sure exactly, but by God's leading, by God's grace, God led my wife and I to take over and for me to pastor the church. But thank you to our church family as well for your faithfulness for so many years, for decades, for some that have been here since the very beginning, for those that have come along the way. And we're so thankful and so grateful. And thank you for your investment, your sacrifice. And so get your Bibles in your hands, get ready for the preaching time. If you have a cell phone, if you would do take a moment, if you would put that on silent or turn it off, we do have a phone up here. If you lost it, it's a Samsung phone, and so I'll have that up here. If you happen to lose your phone, you can grab it after the service. Should I make sure this one's off probably as well? I don't know how to do that. Turn it off. It's yours. All right, I'll catch you on the way down. But all right, good. So get your Bibles in your hands. Get ready for the preaching time. Pastor Johnson, would you come and preach for us today, please?
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to ask now that you sit still. Now, it's 11:43. Long time back, I told the guys in the PA booth, whenever we have a guest preacher, put a big clock up there so they'll know not to go too long. And I noticed there's a big clock up there. So that must mean I'm a guest preacher this morning. Oh, hush. That means I got 17 minutes to cram a two-hour sermon into 17 minutes. So he said preach all day. So I thought, oh, that's what he meant. He wanted me to preach all day long. Two people passed up and four got up and walked out. But anyway, we're okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning, please. I will say more tonight in appreciation and thanks to God for his grace and mercy. Most of you do not know the history of our church, where we began and how it all started and all of that. And I don't have the time to do it. It's 11:43 now, and I have 17 minutes to get this done. So when noon comes, people won't get up and walk out. So I will say a few things tonight about that. Let me just say quickly this, if I may. This church started from scratch. No land, no building, no people, no money, nothing. It's an independent Baptist church. We're not affiliated, associated, denominated with nobody and nothing. We have been that since the very beginning. We came to town not because we had support. We didn't have a dime of support to start this church. We started in the Grange Hall building there on Airport Road across from Kent's Market. As a matter of fact, it was me that told Kent to start grilling the tri-tip on Friday instead of Sunday because it was tearing me up. But that's where we began. And we're there for a few years, and then we're around the corner for another church building for a few years, and then over on Butte Street a few more years, then over on Cedars Road and the church building there for, 10, 12 years or more, and then built this, I didn't build it, we had this built, these facilities, and all of that by God's grace and his mercy, and the fact that people were willing to come and go to a Grange Hall building and an old church building that had no heat, no swamp cooler or air conditioning or floors collapsing and that sort of thing. And then take an old eyeglass factory on Butte Street and fix that up and make it look like a nice fixed up old eyeglass factory. And then Cedars Road, we were able to there get a purchase of church building there after we went through a few legal hassles with some folks, not our fault. And then we were there for many years. I was thinking about it today. The three of our kids were married in that building. But I appreciate you, dear church. I do. And I appreciate Pastor allowing me to preach today on this 41st anniversary service. I still feel like this is home to me. This is my home church. And I feel very comfortable here, which could be trouble in the next few minutes. Is the internet still down? It is? Okay, good. All right, good. The internet's down. So now I can really get in trouble. All right. The subject today is very simple. Matter of fact, I'm going to bore the fire out of you this morning. So if you admit getting a good sleep last night, get ready. Just don't pull out any pillows or anything, okay, if you would. I want to talk to you about salvation. So Brother John said, I believe in salvation. You better do more than that. Look at me. You better have salvation. First message preached in our church in August was about salvation. And between that first Sunday and this Sunday, salvation has been preached a bunch here. So consequently, I say boring because most Christians, they go, oh, I know what that means. You get saved. No, no, no. Excuse me. No, we're talking about salvation. Life changing, eternity affecting salvation. The word salvation is used 158 times in the Bible. And it means, listen, it means to be delivered from something or someone. And it means to be delivered for someone or something. So it's more than just a reformation. It's more than just a change of mind. We're talking about a total change of life here. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 15, as you find that and are able, would you stand one more time? You see, you're wearing me out standing up and sitting down. We call it Baptist aerobics here. It's good for you. It'll keep you awake until I bore you to death in the next 13 minutes. That clock is freaking me out, fellas, honestly. Leave it on. It'll be help me. All right. See, do you tell time? Nah. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, please notice, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Father, bless now this morning, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Salvation, to be delivered from someone, something, to be delivered for someone or something. That, look at me. Just the idea of what salvation means it doesn't come from you. Delivered. It means rescued. Look at me. It means it cannot come from you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Now that means, listen to me, if your understanding of salvation, which means I am forgiven, I get a standing with God, I go to heaven, I have eternal life, if it originates with you, if it comes from you, if it comes from who you are, or who you are not, if it comes from some an institution, a church, a religion, if your understanding of salvation comes from you, you do not have Bible salvation this morning. Salvation means to be delivered. By who? By God. Salvation means to be rescued. By who? By God. Salvation means that you're taken from one situation, who you are, what you are, and you are delivered to be something, somebody else. That has to come from God. Look at 2 Timothy 3:15 again, please. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That means salvation, ladies and gentlemen, has a source. Now listen, it's very simple, but don't miss it. It has a source. It comes from God's Word. So if you understand today, if I was to ask you this morning, are you saved? When you were to tell me your testimony of salvation, would it be because someone took the Bible, explained to you what salvation was? You saw that, realized you were lost, and through faith in Christ Jesus, you accepted Christ as your Savior, then you have salvation. But if your salvation is because of a baptistry, because of a church membership, because of good works, because of your philosophy, because of yourselves, because you have your own way, blah, 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 and all the babble junk that goes on today that has complicated what God made very simple. The Word of God tells me Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, rose again the third day. And His death, burial, and resurrection pays for the gift of eternal life. It is the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 3. And you must believe and trust that gospel, the Savior of that gospel, to have salvation. So if you say today, I have salvation, Brother Johnson, I'm saved, I know that I'm saved, wonderful, then you should be able to recall when someone took the Bible. See, I was a nine-year-old boy in American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. My pastor, Pastor Jacobson, got up and he preached. To be honest with you, he was not an animated man. He never raised his voice. He never got worked up. He never sweat, hollered, slobbered all over people on the front row. He just stood up there and talked. And then he would say a word and lick his lips. Dearly beloved, we are gathered today to preach the word. I don't know how in the world he did that. The word. He died of chapped lips. I mean, I'm no, so that must have been the case. But the man faithfully preached the gospel of Jesus Christ from the word of God. And this nine-year-old boy walked an aisle and trusted Christ as my Savior. And I got saved. Pastor Jacobson didn't save me. The church didn't save me. The man later on took me through a little class that they would do in those days and explained baptism. He baptized me. But my church membership, my baptism, my pastor, my work, no. It was I understood from the Bible that I was lost. Christ was the only hope of my salvation. I trusted Christ and got saved. That's the source of salvation, ladies and gentlemen. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the source of salvation, comes from this book, points us to the Savior. You trust Christ, you got saved. Now listen, everybody that's saved has that testimony. You may have got to that place a different time. You may have got to that place on a different road. You may have got to that place from a different experience. But everyone that has salvation knows and can point back to a specific time, hearing the word of God, realizing you were lost, you trusted Christ, you got saved. That's salvation. Say, well, Brother Johnson, of course that's simple. Yes, that's the point. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says, beware lest Satan beguile you of the simplicity that is in Christ. Churches have complicated that today. Religious people have made a mess of that today. You need to have an interpersonal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't even know what that means. Got two honorary doctorates. It means I'm a paradox. Two honorary doctorates. I don't get that. I don't understand the terminology. How about this one? Are you saved? One of the first guys that ever went soul winning with me here in our church in the early days, Leroy Hallberg. Leroy was a building contractor. Drank 35 to 40 cups of coffee a day. Leroy's been dead for years now. We were soul winning together, and he had never done anything like that. I said, just go with me and watch what I do. When you feel comfortable, you can talk. And I knocked on the door and said, sir, we're from Shasta Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to our church, please. And had a nice, and Leroy's watching this. After about 2 weeks, he goes, I got it, preacher, I got it. I said, okay, Leroy, you're up. He goes, I'm in. Guy opens the door and goes, hey, pal, you saved or what? And the man goes, what? He goes, you saved or what? I said, Leroy, that's not how you do that. The guy goes, I said, sir, we're from the Shasta Baptist Church. We'd like to invite you to come. He goes, yeah, that's what we're doing. You saved or what, pal? Come on, what's going on? The man did not get saved. I think he's still standing in the doorway going, huh? We walked away. I said, Leroy goes, too direct, huh, preacher? I go, yeah, tone it down just a tad. I'd rather see somebody do that than beat around the bush. Look at me. Do you have salvation? According to what the Word of God says, did you, understanding you were lost, trust Christ, get saved? Boom. That's pretty simple. Let's not get that messed up. So there's the source of salvation. Now, there's the time for salvation. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn there. If you can't get there quickly, I'm going to read it to you anyway, because now it is 11:54, and I have 6 minutes. 2 Corinthians, that clock is freaking me out, man. Thank you. Put a waterfall behind it. You smart aleck. All right. See, you ought to see it. Now I got to go to the bathroom. All right. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Ain't you missed me? Come on. Huh? It's terrible. Brother Becker's doing such a great job. I thought I ruined these poor people. Get rid of it. Thank you for the waterfall. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You get to 70. We'll talk about it. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted. Watch. And in the day of salvation, if I succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's the time of salvation. Now. Now, look at me and say, well, why? Well, first of all, dear people, you have to understand something. You get saved when God draws you to salvation. You don't just make up your mind. Got these little God mind people. Well, I'll think about it and then I'll consider what I'm going to do. Hogwash. You need to use the mind God gave you. But the bottom line is this. You know why now is the accepted time of salvation? Because Jesus Christ already went and suffered a horrible, bloody death for you on the cross and for me. And dipped his soul into death and hell, rose from the grave 3 days and three nights later, purchasing the gift of eternal life. And you can have it if you'll just accept Christ. That's why it's now. That's why this idea that people, well, you think it over and we'll get the hold of the concept. I'll get the hold of the concept. God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a now time salvation. See, because of what Jesus has already done. Number two, because you may not get another chance. God's mercy and grace is incredible. Guaranteed this. Watch. How many of you today in this room, don't do anything yet, you know you're saved and you got saved the first time you heard the gospel? Would you raise your hand? See Carol May right here? Led her to Christ and her husband Don in heaven now. 41 years ago, Carol May, on Drake Street. The rest of you today, if I was to ask you, you'd have to say, well, I got more than one chance. Oh, that's mercy. That's grace. Isn't that wonderful? Did you know that's up to God to decide whether you get another chance or not? Yeah, but see, I'm not. No. I've done over 400 funerals in 40 plus years of pastoring. I buried babies, children, teenagers, put their little body in the ground. I buried people, look at me, who said in this room, we had a recognition of our firefighters and stuff. Our chief of fire department came to our service one Sunday, 40-some years old. Within 48 hours, he was dead. Said a massive heart attack. Say, you're trying to scare me, Pastor Johnson. If the thought of stepping out into eternity while you're messing around with salvation, my friend, doesn't put a little fear in your bones, you're either crazy or a fool, and I opt for the latter. Behold, now is this is the time. If you do not know for certain, my friend, look at me. Or you're putting a lot of pressure on me, Pastor. No, that's the Holy Ghost of God pushing you to help you to understand. Maybe this is your time. Maybe this is your last time. Maybe you won't get another chance after this. Then if you don't know, then now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's a story about the Titanic, the great ship that went down. There was a Baptist preacher on that ship, and he had his two little children with him, and he put them in one of the boats so they would make it, and then he stayed, and he got the band to play, you know, Nearer My God to Thee. And as the ship sunk, people slid into the waters, and he had his life jacket on, and they knew they were going to die. As he was floating, he saw a man on a piece of wreckage. He said, "Sir, you're saved." He went up and down that ship as it was sinking, begging people to trust Christ and get saved. He said, "Sir, you're saved." And he goes, "No." And the preacher took his life jacket off and gave it to him. He said, "Well, then you need this much more than I do." Time passed. The man floated by him again in the waters, and he was barely alert, the preacher. He said, "Are you saved now, sir?" He goes, "No, not yet." He goes, "Sir, now's accepted time. Now's the day of salvation." And after a few minutes, the cold waters took him, and that preacher sunk to the bottom of the ocean with the rest of them. Sometime later, there was memorial services for the survivors and for those on the Titanic. A man stood up and gave a testimony. He said, "This preacher floated by and gave me his life jacket and encouraged me to be saved. And I would not. But afterwards," he said, "I could not escape the fact the man was going to die, but was more concerned about my soul than I was." And he said, "I was that preacher's last convert, and I trusted Christ and got saved. Now's the accepted time." Hang the stinking religion. Hang all the rest of it. Hang all your excuses and all the stuff you want to tell me about why you won't come to Christ, about Christians and church and all the rest of it. Hey, put it all aside, ladies and gentlemen, and know this. If you know you're not saved and you're not certain, then now's the accepted time. This is the time for salvation. There's the limit to salvation. See, what limit? Yes. See, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible tells us Jesus is the author of eternal salvation. And then it goes on to say this in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Well, then the limit to salvation is what, Pastor Johnson? The limit is this. Salvation is eternal. Life is eternal once you receive Christ as your Savior. As long as Jesus is alive, that salvation is secured by his living intercession for you. So here it is. Do you know what the limit to salvation is? You. That's the only limit. If you'll trust Christ, the Savior who's alive will give you that salvation and it will last forever. Oh, yeah. Eternal salvation. Not temporary life. Eternal life. And it is guaranteed by the ever-living priesthood of our Savior who intercedes for us today. And as long as Jesus is alive, you have a secure salvation. That's why we preachers talked about it this morning, mentioned it. That's why once you're saved, you're always saved. See, since you don't deserve salvation, you can't undeserve it. Bad English, good point. The truth is, once you received it as a gift, it was a gift when you got it. It's still a gift once you receive it. You can't change a gift, my friend. The only way you can change a gift is try to do something to earn it. He won't let you do that. You already have it. So once you have salvation, you are kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last time. So the limit to salvation is eternal, guaranteed by Jesus. The protection of salvation comes from Ephesians 6:17. There are 8 pieces of armor. In verse 17, the Bible talks about the helmet of salvation. That's a no-so salvation. See, God wants you to be sure of this. If there's anything in life we're certain of, and there's not a lot to be certain of in this world today, and not much in these days in which we live, but there is one thing you can know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's a great assurance to know in this day and age and hour and time, my friend, if you have salvation, you could step out into eternity and be embraced by the arms of God and go to heaven. Just like that. See, look, that's the protection. So yeah, there's a lot of things I'm not sure of when I look around me. There's a lot of things that don't make a lot of sense, but I'll tell you this. Without any moment of braggadocious in me whatsoever, I'm going to tell you this. I am saved and I know it. I mentioned that to a man one day. I asked him, sir, are you saved? He goes, no, are you? I said, yes, sir, I am. He goes, that's arrogant. I said, no, sir. No, sir, it's not arrogant. I'm certainly not bragging, and it isn't me that saved me. Jesus did. But I know it. Wouldn't you like to know, sir? One more thing, and I finish this morning because it's 12:03 and I'm 3 minutes overdue. One thing, honest, there's the danger of salvation. Hebrews 2 and verse 3 says this, how shall we escape, listen, if we neglect so great salvation? See, the reason I said I'm going to bore you talking about salvation is because, see, for the average Christian, it's a ho-hum salvation, not a so great salvation. We've got used to this idea. Once we know we're saved, we're saved. We're going to heaven. It's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing to know. We got the helmet on. We're all set. We got it. Eternity is ours. Jesus is our Savior. Heaven is our home. Jesus, our elder brother. Oh, my goodness. We got all that. Now, what are we going to do? What's for lunch? To neglect something means to not value it properly. Huh? It means it doesn't mean anything to you. Like you buy your kid a bicycle. He gets all excited, rides around the block. Next morning, it's laying out in the front yard. And you think, kid, do you know what that stupid bike cost me? And the kid is neglecting so great bicycle. Already taking it for granted. Come on, how much of what we do, how much of those right there, those fingers right there have you neglected? Not mine, yours. How much of those? Till you smash one in the door. You get one of them bandages on the size of your ankle. And every time you touch, it reminds you of that finger you never paid it to. Are you with me on the neglect principle? So how about this one? When was the last time you sat and you thought even for a moment that you are a child of God? How shall we escape? It doesn't mean God will take it away from us. Thank God he doesn't, or we'd lose our salvation regularly. By the way, you can lose your salvation. You just can't lose the one you get from God and Jesus. The one you get, you can lose that. The one Jesus gave you, you can't lose that one. But how much? Come on. I'm 70 years old in just a few weeks on, what's the date again? Still know the Bible. Okay, good. And September the 12th, I'll be 71 years old. Yeah, I look 68. I know that. The truth of the matter is, here's the deal. But I've never forgotten that day as a boy, trusting Christ as my Savior and walking out of that church thinking, man, I should have done that a long time ago. I did the white knuckle flight, holding on to the pew and worried about my soul and being such a shy, like I am right now, shy kid. I didn't want to go forward and trust Christ. And when I did, I was so glad I did. Could I say I thought about my salvation every day? Nope. Can I say this? There's not much time passes before I do. But more than think about it, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. I am a child of God. I belong to him. He'll never leave me or forsake me. Why should I live my life where it looks like I have forsaken him? That's neglecting your salvation. You know you have it. Oh, I meet him all the time. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Got saved when I was a kid. You know, I meet him across town now, all over the place. People rode buses to our church over these 25, 30 years of bus running and meet him. And they got saved in our kids' programs and stuff like that. And now what are they doing with their life? They have no direction, no purpose whatsoever in their life. Well, come on back. We'd love to have you back at church. Good thing about church buildings, they don't move. Come on down. When they say they don't want to go to church because of hypocrites, I say, come on down, make one more. We got room for you too. Come on. There should be something pulling on our hearts about that grace of God that gave us salvation. And it should mean something more to us than just getting fire insurance, dropping in on a Sunday morning and taking our rusted backside out of here and just go on about our lives. That's neglecting so great salvation. That's the danger. You have it, you get it. And it's like that bike in the front yard. Yeah, I'm saved. Excuse me. Yes, I'm a child of God. Are you? Are you neglecting so great salvation? Let's stand our feet, please. That's what makes salvation so great. How we live by it, what we do. The fact that my life should be such that I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God, your body and your spirit, which are God's. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Now, dear friend, listen now, please.